This is Faith Matters on 89.1, Lubbock's Voice of the Arts. Join us for a conversation about faith in everyday life, the trials, the tribulations, and the triumphs. Discussions about how faith matters to you and our community. Only on 89.1, Lubbock's Voice of the Arts. Support for Faith Matters is brought to you by Covenant Health, where faith meets the future of medicine. Now, here are your hosts, Ryan Price and David Cruz.
Welcome to Faith Matters. I'm Ryan Price along with David Cruz, and we are sitting here today in the studio along with David Miller, who is the former mayor of Lubbock and is now serving as founder of the Spirit Ranch here in Lubbock, and also leadership coach, team leader of many people, and all around dear friend to my family. And we welcome you into the studio today, David.
Thank you.
So pleased to have you here. I was just thinking, a couple of years ago, I went to Smithsonian Institute, and there was a small exhibit on the presidents in the United States. And I saw where Jimmy Carter was talking, and he said, he showed up a cartoon. He's talking about his life after politics. And he showed up a cartoon that he really liked that said, a little kid saying, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" And the little kid says, "One of these days, I want to be an ex-president."
There's nothing better than being the immediate past chairman, right, president, former, or mayor of any organization.
Well, a lot of people will not know what you've been doing with your life since leaving office. And I just thought that that would be a good place to start.
Well, much what I did before, in one sort of position or another. I've been in a business leadership position. We had a little family business here for many years called Amco Medical Service. We rented and sold all kinds of hospital equipment supplies. From there, I went to a place called the Med Group, which was a national company headquartered here in Lubbock, and divested ourselves of that business in 2006, I guess, had about 800 locations nationwide, still headquartered here in Lubbock, but that belongs to somebody else now, as do all the privileges and headaches that go with it. But Ryan, in 2005, we launched a leadership and team development retreat center called Spirit Ranch at the site of the old County Line restaurant just north of town out by the airport. So far, in the 7-plus years that we have had that organization, over 14,000 men, women, and young people have come through our leadership and team development program. So as I was running for mayor, we were working on bringing the Bush Library to Texas Tech, which we were not successful in that effort, but it did get open somewhere else. We were building a house, and I was running for mayor and starting Spirit Ranch all at the same time, so I think my sanity level was a little low at that time. Since being mayor, I just continued that role as a coach, a consultant, a facilitator at Spirit Ranch for leaders and teams that come our way to really focus on principle-centered leadership, Christ-centered leadership. Without the churchiness or the preachiness, there's no Bible thumping, but the principles upon which we base our team and leadership development programs are, in fact, character or principle-centered.
I've been out there on an extended period of time. You have something called the Sabbath House.
Spirit House. Sabbaticals, yeah.
And I wanted us to begin our conversation with that Sabbath and what is meant by that, this Spirit House that serves as Sabbath. What are you talking about?
Well, initially, at least in my Sunday school classes, the Sabbath was the day that God created for rest. He himself, after creating, rested. But since that period of a young understanding, sabbatical or Sabbath, related words, I suppose, in the original Hebrew. You're the scholars on that, not me. It really means stop. Cease what you're doing. And before I ran for mayor, and I was switching from that career as president and CEO of the Med Group to the founder of Spirit Ranch, I took 15 days and night. I found a little bamboo house online in the Costa Rica jungle about 50 yards from the Pacific Ocean. And I spent those 2 weeks there totally alone. I mean, there was no other civilization around. I didn't see any men, women, or children for those 2 weeks. And lots of macaws and howler monkeys, though, in the jungle at night. And I just stopped and I rested. And here's what I found. For about the first 3 days, I thought I'd made a bad decision. I was going up the walls because I'd gone from that corporate pace of emails and meetings and phone calls and to literally nothing to do whatsoever. There's no phone, no television, no radio, no internet. It was simply me and the nature of that rainforest. But towards the end of the third day, and I found this to be true for a lot of people, I became a little bit desperate, and I said, I need to do something. And so I literally prayed. I'm pretty sure this verse is right. Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man opens to me, I'll come in and hang out with him, have sup with him, as the King James Version said. And Jesus answered the prayer, and he literally came in, and my mind settled. And what I became aware of is the pace of life that I was living, which, frankly, most of us live today, whether you're a homemaker or a student or a business executive or a pastor, probably is not the pace that we were intended or created to live at. I mean, it's very fast. So days 4 through 14 and into the 15th day when I left, my mind became crystal clear. I read 8 books. I wrote 40 love letters. I wrote a journal to my wife as though it was an extended 2-week-long love letter. And I created 4 strategic plans, one for my life, just for David Miller, one for Spirit Ranch, which at that time didn't even have a name yet because we hadn't actually found the property and taken it to completion. Then I wrote 2 strategic plans, one for a mayoral campaign and one for the city of Lubbock itself. And the point I'm trying to make to your listeners is without stopping, without taking a Sabbath or a sabbatical, my mind would have never either had the time or been clear enough to become so creative. I'm not prophetic or anything. I'm maybe a little visionary, but I'm not telling you I can foresee the future. All 4 of those strategic plans came to be in one form or fashion, from the election, being mayor, to a strategic planning retreat that each council member appointed 3 members to, and we spent 2 days on a ranch down by Post doing a strategic plan. What they came up with was almost a mirror of what I'd come up with a year and a half before that in the jungle. So without stopping, ceasing, those kind of thought processes have a hard time getting through to our busy brains.
That's really intriguing to me, the thought of taking time and carving out that Sabbath for renewal, refreshment, even as you were explaining, to be able to do planning. Yeah. When we come back from our little break, I'd like to follow that up and ask you about what happens to the human desire to want to be available. How do we continue availability to others and yet not compromise? I think we'd all agree is such a necessary ingredient for the soul, and that is Sabbath and renewal.
Good. Look forward to it.
You're listening to Faith Matters on 89.1 Lubbock's Voice of the Arts.
You're listening to Faith Matters on 89.1 Lubbock's Voice of the Arts with your hosts Ryan Price and David Cruz. Brought to you by Covenant Health, where faith meets the future of medicine.
Welcome back to Faith Matters. Sitting here with David Miller, former mayor of Lubbock, in the studio today, and we are talking about Sabbath. And before the break, David, you were talking about your experience in taking an extended time away, 14 days in what in my mind is a jungle, by yourself to think, to pray, to cogitate, to dream and vision. And what I was thinking was, David, how in the world do you have the guts to unbuckle yourself and just go and be? I mean, I know that that's been an important part of so many spiritual masters' journey, but when I read the Bible, I think, oh, it must have been easier for those persons than it is today because we're so wired. It's got to take tremendous courage. I would think I'd be afraid to take that journey.
Well, there's 2 or 3 answers to that. Number one, it may just take a lack of brains to go into the rainforest for 14 days, but I actually wanted to spend 40 days, that biblical time of preparation between careers and running for mayor, but I wanted Jane Ann to go with me. And when I Googled Jane Ann, my wife of 40 years, 2 months, and 29 days, which is 14,701 days, by the way, if you ever want to calculate it, counting 4 leap years. No, 10 leap years. Anyway, the only place I could find affordable was this little bungalow, this bamboo house with all open-sided, no walls, I suppose you'd say. And as soon as she saw the pictures of the mosquito netting, she wasn't interested in going. So instead of 40 days, I spent about 15. So courage. Number one, the first night you're laying there in the jungle and you hear sounds that you don't know what they are, I remember flashing back when I was a little bitty boy and just being scared of the night, scared of the dark. I had not experienced that in many, many years. Until that peace came over to me, it says, wait a minute, I'm not really alone here with God the Father being with me. But in terms of courage, where I think you're asking, of being transparent and vulnerable, and, ooh, do I really want to reveal?
Well, I'm saying, they've sometimes said about we pastors, we're quivering masses of availability, which means basically we need to be needed.
Yeah, it means you can't say no.
That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
I think that takes courage to say, I need this time away where I will not be available.
Yeah, I think the courage is part of it. And then I also just think some good old-fashioned wisdom that says, if I do this, there'll be certain benefits. If I don't take this time, I'm probably going to bear the consequences of being less impactful and effective to your parishioners in y'all's case, or my business associates in mine, but also running the risk of burnout. You have to rest. I mean, the creator of the universe himself said, that's enough for now. I'm going to stop and I'm going to rest. And by the way, he looked back and he said, this was good.
You know, Ryan just stole my thunder.
Well,
I was going to ask you about I was going to ask you about availability, but since he broached the subject, you were telling us during the break about five S's that you try to live by or that have guided this principle of Sabbath for you, and maybe connect that to availability if you'd like. Speak to that.
Well, let me go back to availability because you had asked about it during the break. And I would suggest to you that part of what drives men, I think, like us, at least like you and your profession and your calling, is not just the need to be available, kind of almost an egotistical type need, but you've been called to service, and to give and to give to give is in just part of your nature of a gifting that God's given you. But part of being a man of integrity, and remember integrity is related to the math word integer, fractions are part of a number, 3/4, 2/3. Integer is a whole number. If a person's a person of integrity, they need to give their whole selves, their creativity, their attendance, their promptness, their loyalty, their honesty, the whole deal. But here's the ironic thing about being a person of integrity. You also have to know when to hold back and not give, or else you're running on empty. And a car without any gas in the tank is no good at all to anybody. So part of being a man, a leader, a priest, a pastor of integrity is saying, in order to give all I've got to save a little. So as I'm thinking through all this, I was in just on the southern border of the Pecos Wilderness last November, only a six-day journey this time in a little pristine cabin that it was just beautiful. Again, somewhere around the third day was when my mind finally quit. I'd lost my wife to cancer about 2 months previous to this, and so it was going in a lot of different directions, going through some of that grief process. And it dawned on me, really the next day before I left, that I needed, and this is David Miller, I don't know if this is a prescription for anybody else or not, but I needed not only to stop the Sabbath, I needed a sanctuary. So S number two, I guess, is I needed a place, not a church sanctuary, not a temple, a refuge, a safe place to go. Now, y'all, that can be your closet, it can be your office, it could be the car driving out on the county road somewhere, but it's a place where you're uninterrupted and you don't have the cell phone turned on and you're not tuned into the internet to check the email. You have taken refuge and you've stopped. Well, if I'm in a sanctuary and now I've stopped, my next problem is I wanted to start something else. And so the third S is stillness. Be still and know that I am God, Psalm 46:10 says. You know how us type A's are? I mean, we even kind of wag our leg over our other leg when it's crossed just to kind of keep moving all the time. We need to be still or else we're starting something else. Do you know how hard that is in today's age of technology and advertisements on TV and navigation systems just to be still? It's nearly impossible, it seems like. The next thing that I need for some period of time is solitude. You need to be alone. Jesus went 40 days and nights alone. Every morning he got up early and was alone with his heavenly dad. So I'm not suggesting that every year somebody goes somewhere for a week or two. But if you can grab 5 minutes in the morning, you know, close the door to your closet as you're tying your shoes and just stop and be still alone, which leads me to the fifth S, and I don't know if it makes sense. I need silence. Was it Elijah, Ryan, that went to the mountaintop and he didn't find God in the whirlwind or the earthquake or the, what else was there, fire?
Fire, earthquake.
Yeah. What did he find them in? The silence. Still, small voice of God. Mm-hmm. So as I think about leadership and paying forward what God's given us, which, by the way, I think that's all we have to give. I'm not sure we have any love of our own. I think our job is to pay God's love forward through us. I'm not sure I have any ideas of my own. I just pay them forward because I've gotten them from somewhere. I think those five S's are something that if somebody did on some kind of regular basis, maybe it's once a week for an hour, maybe it's 10 minutes in the morning, or maybe it is a week or two every year or so. Things happen that aren't going to happen if you're tuned into music or there's visual noise, one more shopping center, one more movie to see, whatever it may be.
David, as you're talking, I think of my grandfather, who you knew, Bill Price, and he was dry West Texan through and through.
The best.
And he used to say, when I first got my license and was driving, remember, son, you can go just as far on a full tank of gas as you can on a half. And I kind of always had that same response, like, what is he talking about? But it was his way of getting me to think and realize that I needed to get the gas before
you bet.
I needed to get the gas. Yeah. And that seems to be part of what you're saying. Is this a part of what you're coaching leaders?
You bet. You bet. What's interesting, and we guard ourselves in not being, again, too religious or overtly Christian, I guess you might say, although I hope we're always reflecting Christ. But whether it's a large organization with hundreds and hundreds of employees or whether it's a mom-and-pop operation, the principles that have been laid out for us are the same. They work either way. And so when people try to get real fancy, and by the way, leadership is an incredibly huge field now. Executive coaching, I don't even call myself that because I haven't been certified or approved by anyone. But people are hungry to know, what are kind of the secrets? And the answer is, we have a break coming up, and we'll come back.
that's a good way to end it, David. You're listening to Faith Matters on 89.1 Lubbock's Voice of the Arts.
This is Faith Matters on 89.1, Lubbock's Voice of the Arts, hosted by Ryan Price and David Cruz, and brought to you by Covenant Health, where faith meets the future of medicine.
Welcome back to Faith Matters. We are sitting here with David Miller, former mayor of Lubbock, Texas, and also a dear friend and someone who is doing a lot of work, as we were talking about before the break, David, with coaching, teaching about leadership and thinking and visioning and taking the time to do so as leaders. And you were making a point about what you're teaching others to do is they seek to wait in stillness and in solitude and think on their lives and reflect on their work.
Yeah, it's a little unusual approach to executive coaching, if you call it that, because a lot of people are just after the techniques. Well, if I do these five things, will I be successful as a leader? And the answer is maybe, maybe not. So I just make sure that they understand that there are really just some basic tenets of team building and leadership that work. I'll name four of them right now that we call them the four cornerstones at the ranch. And I don't have time to expand on all of them. If I get invited back sometime, maybe you'll let me. But everything starts and ends with trust. Period, paragraph, end of story. Marriage relationships, business partnerships, community. There's a level of trust, and there's a whole 30-minute show on that. But if you can have trust, you can have understanding, which means much more than just good communication. It means clear expectations and agreed-upon goals and strategies to reach those goals. And if you have trust and understanding, that leads to something called freedom. The freedom to be innovative and creative and try things that are different, but also the freedom to hold each other accountable, because after all, you trust each other and you have an understanding of what your goals are. If you have those three things, this thing called unity pops up, teamwork. And there is strength in unity. There is weakness in divisiveness. So if you can build on those four cornerstones, the capstone is something called joy. It's fulfillment. It's, quote, success. But isn't really the goal in life is to be joyful, to be fulfilled. So those are the kind of the four things that we try to teach on.
David, the conversation today for me with you is kind of characterized by this, and I would say you've spoken a lot about having depth in the human heart and in our lives.
Yes, sir.
And it reminds me of an interview that was given to Larry King by the great Paul Harvey, who many of our listeners will remember.
Paul Harvey
News and Comment, the rest of the story. But he said this before he died to Larry King, and I was enthralled listening to that interview. He said to him, this was an observation he would make about our society, that generally speaking, we're saturated with too much news and information. Yeah. Consequently, we live on the surface, but we don't have any depth. Wow. We live on the topsoil, but we don't dig down. What I think you're talking about today to us and to our listeners is about living with depth. Yeah. Would you speak to that?
I've got this mental picture, as you said that, of a tree that's been blown over by a strong wind. And when you look, its root system didn't go very deep. But there are elm trees at Spirit Ranch that are now approaching 100 years old, and those roots go so deep, and they've withstood plenty of winds these last few years. So I think it's true, and I immediately, every time I get on a radio or a TV program, I make statements that don't exactly befriend me to the media, but the advent of 24/7 news has created the need to create news, and therefore the oversaturation of information, like Paul Harvey said. And so when there's not news and you need to create it, you're really creating entertainment. Well, in order to have entertainment, it's just like any really good story. You need a villain and a hero. Perhaps you need a beauty to be rescued and a dragon to be slain. And so you create this tension where people are kind of pounding on each other because there's a good guy and a bad guy, and everybody likes that. Therefore, advertising is sold. And I'm talking even about on, you know, local news, never mind CNN or Fox or whatever. And so when you talk about depth, I think about what a person can see on a news station, and they just sort of glance over these stories, and you're saying, I'm saying, could there be more to this than what they're reporting? So as mayor, for example, a soundbite, as it's come to be known.
Yeah.
And that's all they have time for, because they got to get on to the next story. And, oh, by the way, every 8 minutes or whatever it is, less than that, there's an advertisement they got to throw in there. So, and bless their hearts, that's the way they make a living. It's a free enterprise way to make a living. I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying we don't go very deep when we do it. So as an example, when I was mayor, we dealt with some very, very difficult issues that were legal and perhaps potentially criminal in nature. There was so many more things going on behind the scenes that the public couldn't know, and I'm not saying they shouldn't. I'm just saying the timing of these legal sensitive matters, you know, when the FBI is involved and they say, don't breathe a word of this to anybody, I pretty well pay attention. I don't breathe a word to anybody. But what the media gets hold of is part of the story, but you don't hear, as Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story. Therefore, you don't get the aha moment. Oh, now I understand. So I think the more that we can do to be experts on less, meaning fewer subjects, and go deeper and be greater experts on fewer things, maybe the better off we are.
You know, as you're talking, David, I'm thinking how difficult it is to live a countercultural narrative, to turn off the cell phone or to unplug or to try to practice Sabbath even week in and week out. Mm-hmm. How important is it to have to belong to a community that is perhaps practicing those same kinds of values and trying to create a space for the spiritual soul to take root?
One of the greatest military tactics in the world is divide and
conquer.
Therefore, the opposite must be also true. Divisiveness, I said earlier, creates weakness. Unity creates strength. In the word community resides the word unity. The reason we need each other, whether it's a small group, whether it's a large church membership, whether it's a Tuesday evening Bible study, or whether it's a men's retreat at Spirit Ranch, which we did last weekend, and another women's retreat this past, we need each other for the encouragement, for the sharing of ideas, and for the strength that's gained, Ryan, through the community or the unity of like-minded people.
Ryan, it's been a joy to have David Miller with us today. I hope you'll come back again.
Well, the joy's all mine. Thank you, man.
Thinking that folks who are listening to this, it's about 5:30 p.m. on a Sunday. Go and rest. It's Sabbath. You've been listening to Faith Matters on 89.1 Lubbock's Voice of the Arts.